That was a great worshipful prayer song that you guys just sang. And that really is. That's what we want God to do, is to move in our hearts. Well, man, we hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. It may have looked a little different for you. Maybe it was a little bit smaller. But in spite of our world being turned upside down, we still have so much to be thankful for. And I hope that you were able to gather with that kind of perspective, that there's still so much to be thankful for. Well, today actually begins Advent. Advent always starts 4 Sundays before Christmas. And so today, when we think about Advent, I can't help but think about anticipation, because you know that's what Advent means. It means the coming or the arrival, but there's this anticipation of it. And I'm going to date myself. I know some of you are going to be shocked to know this, but I was alive in the late 70s. In the late 70s, there was this commercial right here.
Boys, you catch up slow. You mean your mom doesn't buy you Heinz? No, why should she? Wait till you taste it.
It's worth the wait. The anticipation. Do you remember that? Some of you who were alive in the late 70s, right? And that idea of anticipation. You couldn't wait until it came out of the bottle, of that ketchup, right? And some of you are like, what in the world? That is so old. Well, hey, it's still that idea of anticipation. And when we think about Advent, this meaning, that means coming or arrival, you know, before Jesus came, it was all about his first coming. The Advent was all about that. It was about them anticipating that one day the Messiah was actually going to show up. And then after he actually showed up, and after his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and then actually a couple or several hundred years later, actually, church historians tell us it wasn't until the 5th, maybe even the 6th century, that they didn't tie Advent to the second coming in church history. But from that point on, they started connecting the dot that there's this second Advent that is going to happen. There's this second Advent that's going to come, and that is Jesus really is coming back again. The scriptures are so clear. And in this letter that we are going through as a church, it is this idea that Paul is writing that we are to live with this hope that Jesus really is coming back again. We're going to get more into that idea in a few weeks. But as Paul writes today, he writes with this idea of anticipation. And before we get into our text, as we think about Advent, I want to invite all of you to do an Advent study with us. Everyone who is online with us, every person who's here with us, if you would just go to our Facebook page. And I know that sometimes some of you have said, hey, I can't find your Facebook page. Well, if you go to Facebook and you search, you know, Cranston Christian Fellowship, love, follow, serve. That's the easiest way, really. But there is another way. If you go to our website, if you just go to ccfchurch.net and you scroll onto our, and just click on the Facebook icon that's on there, that will take you directly to our Facebook page. And what we want to do is invite you into a group on Facebook. It's a private group. So you have to request to be a part of it. And so that's why I'm explaining all of this. And for the next 4 weeks, we want you to be a part of this online study and engage with us daily as we do this Advent study. And there are PDF files. Once you request to be a part of the group, you'll be allowed into the group, and you'll be able to have the PDF files of this Advent study, these daily readings that we'll go through together. And then we invite you to engage with us, to comment, share with us, what are you thinking? What did these verses, as we think about His coming again, what do these verses speak into your life? And to share that with us. Now, if for some reason you have an issue, you can't, you know, you're trying, you've tried everything, then just email Lindsay at ccfchurch.net, and Lindsay will help you figure it out, all right? So I hope that you'll come be a part of that. I hope that I see you there with me, even later today. I already made one comment on there, but I'll be back there later today, and I'll see you tomorrow there as well. But for our teaching, as we think about this series that we're in, there is this anticipation that we're going to read in our text today. And to get your mind going there, I have this question for you. When troubles show up at your doorstep, what is your reaction? Hey, if you're online, just whatever platform you're on, just type in the first thought that just came into your mind. For all those engaging online, type in on whatever platform, what is it? What's the first thing that goes into your mind, or your first reaction when trouble shows up at your doorstep? See, so many of us, when trouble shows up, we run the other way, don't we? That's what we want to do. We want to retreat. Many people, they just become paralyzed because trouble is there staring at you, and you're like, oh, you know, and it just, you just freeze because you weren't anticipating it. Some other people, they like run right towards it. It's like sometimes foolishly, you know, right? They run right into the trouble. And I probably fall more into the run right into it on the foolish side. And this has been something that's been a part of me. As I thought about this question for myself, I thought, man, Rick, this goes all the way back to even in the 70s, you would run into trouble. But when I was in college, I was going to college in Michigan. And at this time, my parents moved to Lexington, Kentucky. And so I'm leaving Michigan. I got off work. I worked second shift. So I was getting off somewhere around 11 o'clock, midnight. And so I'm driving through the night to get home to see my parents. And I'm on 75 in the state of Ohio, and it's wee hours of the morning, and this car, I mean, I'm typically driving above the speed limit, not going to lie, right? But this car came by me so fast, all I saw was taillights, and I'm not joking. Phew! I mean, just, I was like, oh my gosh. And then, about a mile or two down the road, this semi in front of me came to a complete stop on I-75. Middle, you know, wee hours in the morning. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's this truck doing? And so he actually parked his rig, and I see him jump out. And so I pull my car over enough just to kind of see what's ahead of him. And there was a car, and a cloud of smoke flipped upside down. I thought, oh my gosh. I put my car in park, and I get out to run up there to see if I can help, to investigate, to see what's going on. And for some of you, do you remember that song from Foreigner, "You're as Cold as Ice"? Yeah. I'm not lying. That song was playing. And as I looked in there, there's the passenger, and he's gone. I'm sorry, the driver. The driver is gone. And that song, "You're as Cold as Ice," just playing over and over again. I thought, oh my gosh. That's an image I'll never get out of my head. Seeing that gentleman there, trapped in his car, gone. And then as we investigated further, the trucker says, hey, we need to look in the ditch to see if we see anybody else. And cars were getting tired of waiting behind us. You know what they started doing? Driving. This guy in his four-wheel drive truck started driving in the ditch. And all of a sudden, we're jumping in front of him saying, no. Why? Because he almost ran over a passenger that had been thrown from the car. Run into troubles sometimes can be foolish. It leaves you with these images that will never leave you. It was in 2013, so just 7 years ago, at my house, Ward, my brother-in-law, and his wife Samita, and their kids were over with our kids, and it was a pizza night. It was probably Friday night. We're all hanging out, and all of a sudden, we hear this explosion. And we're like, oh my gosh, that wasn't like fireworks. That was like something just exploded. And then it wasn't too many minutes later, we heard another explosion. And Ward and I looked at each other because he has the same personality as I do. We got to go find out what's blowing up. So we get out, we start walking right towards where the explosions are happening. I don't live too far from the Warwick Public Works and where they park their sanitation trucks. And do you remember in Warwick when those sanitation trucks started blowing up? They had some kind of issue with them and they would catch fire and then boom. Well, that's what we were hearing and that's what we would go and find. But that's my initial reaction. When I hear trouble, I want to run right towards it, investigate and find out, what is it? And so when trouble shows up at your doorstep, do you have the mindset to actually anticipate trouble's going to happen? In our text, that's what we're going to see. Paul tells us, you need to anticipate trouble is going to happen. And when trouble does, let this be an opportunity for your love to grow and not to be diminished. And here's how we're saying that. Anticipate trouble and let trouble grow your love for others, not diminish it. Now see, many of you, you used to run right into trouble. You used to face trouble head on. You used to, that person would come to you and tell you that story, and then you became cynical. The first time that happened to me, the first time that I had the opportunity to become cynical about people and that they're out to scam you, happened in junior high. I'm in junior high. I'm with my youth pastor, and we are inviting people to come to church with us. And we happen to come across this guy in his apartment, and he's telling us how he needs some help, and that all he needs $150 so that his landlord, so he can pay his rent, so his family can stay there, and they won't get kicked out, and he could pay it back by next Friday. Now I'm in junior high. I have a paper out, and I'm thinking, I've got $150 at home in my coffee can. I'll go help him out. I tell my youth pastor, I say, hey, I've got $150. I'll lend him $50 until next Friday, or $150 until next Friday to help him with his rent. And so we get in the car, and my youth pastor warns me. And I say, no, I want to do this anyway. And so we go back, we get my $150, we come back, we bring it to the guy, and I say, hey, I'll see you next Friday. He says, all right. Well, I went next Friday, and yeah, he wasn't there. He wasn't there the next Friday. He was never there. So there was an opportunity for me to become cynical about people, learning that from a young age, to be burned, to be scammed. And that was an opportunity for me to either back away and say, yeah, I'm not going to ever believe anybody's story again. And to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to show an act of kindness or love towards other people. Or I could let it turn into an opportunity to actually grow my love for other people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's listen. This part, this chapter is so cool. This is such a narrative. Paul is writing out. He's writing out this event that actually happened in his life, in Silas's life, in Timothy's life, and this church that he's writing to, these people that he's writing to in the city of Thessalonica. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, start in verse number 1. We're going to walk through this quickly. So it says, finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens. That's him and Silas. Paul and Silas ended up in Athens, and he says, you know what? In spite of us being here alone, we're going to send Timothy back to you. And so we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you and to encourage you in your faith. Right? So this is the church that he had planted. Remember, we talked about this. He ended up in Thessalonica. He starts this church and then he leaves, and now he's in Athens, and he's gathering another group of people. He's sharing Jesus, that he's the Messiah, and they're planting this other church. He says, we're sending Timothy there to encourage you in your faith and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you are going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. You see what Paul is saying there? He's saying anticipate troubles. Count on it. Troubles are going to come your way. And you know what? I'm a little nervous about the troubles that are coming to you. I'm scared these troubles are going to shake you. They're going to shake your faith. And what Paul is trying to tell us is that if we could have the perspective to just anticipate that troubles are going to show up on your doorstep, anticipate that people are going to try and scam you, anticipate that financial hardship is going to come your way, anticipate that there's going to be loss in your life, there's going to be loved ones that you're going to lose, anticipate, hey, one day you may get a diagnosis that's not favorable towards you. Anticipate this so that when it does show up on your doorstep, it doesn't shake your faith. See, this is what Paul was troubled about. He says, you know this. Look at this. He says, even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. And I wonder if he's referencing the household of Jason. Remember, in Acts chapter 17, Luke tells us the story of when Paul was here planting that church in Thessalonica, as he was there teaching that Jesus is the Messiah, that these people were gathering. They gathered in a person's name in a house, and the person who owned it, his name was Jason. And as the believers were gathering there and they were doing a Bible study, as they were going through the scriptures and learning more about who Jesus is, then all of a sudden city officials come down, kick down the door. They drag every one of the believers. In Acts chapter 17, you read it, that tells us the story. In Acts 17, it tells us they dragged Jason and all the other believers out, brought them before the city council, and charged and trumped some on some, you know, fake charge, and then they said, you got to post bail to be let go, because they were saying they believed in Jesus, the Messiah. See, Paul said anticipate, and you know it's happened. It happened when he was with them. Paul and Silas actually weren't in that house. They were already gone, and then they actually leave shortly thereafter. And there they are, they're showing up in another city, and now they end up in Athens teaching the same message that they taught in Thessalonica. And he's saying, hey, you know that trouble is coming. Many people will do this. Many people think, oh, if I just go to God, then everything will calm down. I won't have trouble. How many of your prayers have been, help us keep us safe? I'm not for sure if that should be our attitude. Because what we need to see is that he says, no, trouble is coming. We live in a world that's broken because of sin. And so there's trouble all around us. Trouble's going to come. Things, your hopes for your kids, trouble's going to come. Anticipate it. Don't let it shake your faith when troubles come. He says, that is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. He just wanted to know, was their faith, did the trouble shake their faith? And then they let go of it, because that's what happens in a lot of people's lives. They'll be like, oh God, I profess my faith in you, I believe in you. And then when trouble shows up, they let go of it. I didn't think I was supposed to have troubles if I became a Christ follower. Nowhere will you ever find that in the Bible. When Jesus showed up here, he taught this very clearly. He said, you're going to be persecuted. Now, I have a feeling that we, in 2020, as Americans, we have no idea what persecution really is. You look at the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Do you see how they literally persecuted people for their faith? Because they were willing to say, yes, I do believe in Jesus, but I'm going to take care of the sick, the lame. I'm going to help those who are broken. And as they would live their life like that, they'd be dragged out, torched alive. We don't really know what persecution is as Americans. And yet Paul says, anticipate that trouble's going to come. He says, I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you, and that your work and that our work would have been useless. See, that's what Satan wants to do.
He wants to shake people free of their faith, of their professed faith. He wants people to think that somehow you're not supposed to experience loss. He wants people to somehow think, oh, if God is so good, then bad things won't happen. None of that is sound theology. That's not biblical. And we see it time and time again in the Scripture. And here it's being lived out in real time, in Paul's time. And then he goes on to say, but now Timothy has just returned bringing us the good news about your faith and love. Remember on week one, we talked about those three words. It was all about faith, love, and hope. And here we see this theme come up again. And Paul is saying that Timothy came back and he told us about your faith, that your faith wasn't shaken because of the trouble that had happened to you. He says, not only wasn't your faith shaken, but man, you are loving people. You're continuing to live out those loving deeds. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering. This is Paul. He's in Athens and he's saying when Timothy came back and said, man, your faith hasn't been shaken. When Timothy came back and gave that report, he's like, oh my gosh. He says, my faith has been encouraged. Here Paul is, no doubt, suffering for what he is teaching, that Jesus really is the Messiah. And as he's teaching that, he's suffering persecution once again. And as he does that, he's saying, but you, as I look back to you, people in Thessalonica, man, you're knocking it out of the park. Because of your faith, because of your love, because of your hope, and you are encouraging me. Have you ever thought about the way that you go through troubles? Actually encourage somebody else. The way that you show up to your office, your workplace, your school, the way that you show up there and the troubles that you will go through, have you ever thought about the impact that it's having on those around you? You can show up and be an encouragement to them as they watch you. And it's not that you're pretending like there's not pain, that there's not hurt. I'm not saying that. You talk about that openly. But you continue to have a faith that trouble will not shake. And when you share that, that's what makes an impact. And people will look at you and they will say, I don't believe what they say, but I like the end result of what they say they believe in. So I wonder, do you realize who you could be encouraging by the way that you go through your hard times? And how you could encourage them to come and follow Jesus with you. This is what he says, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. Many times I hang up my phone and I'm just like, oh my gosh. There's family after family in our church family who have went through or are going through it, or have been through it for years. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I hang up and I think, is this ever going to stop for that family, Father? I start talking to God. God, is it ever going to stop for them? And yet when I hang up from them, after loss, after diagnosis, after another loss, after, I mean, you name it, job loss, and things just continue to happen and you think, God. And yet, their faith isn't shaken. They continue to say, but Rick, God's at work. Here's what He's doing here. Here's what He's doing here. And I want to say, yeah, but did you see what happened here? And they're like, I anticipate trouble because Jesus told us we're going to have trouble, Rick. Do you look at when trouble comes into your life, do you anticipate that it's going to happen? And do you allow it for an opportunity actually to demonstrate the love of Christ to others? He says this, it gives us a new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. And for those of you who seem to go through one hardship after another, I want you to know that when I talk to you, or that when you talk to others, what you actually do is you give encouragement. You breathe new life. You let us know that no matter what we face, God can use it for good. And then he says how we thank God for you. Paul's like, we're thanking God for you. And there's no doubt he's probably naming off names. Our team this past Wednesday, we fasted our lunch hour and we just spent our time thanking God for many names of people in our church family. Saying thank you for. So can I just say to you and those of you who aren't gathered in this room, to everyone who's online, thank you for the way that you continue to persevere amid hardship. And let's not kid ourselves, 2020 has been difficult. And you are still pursuing. You at home or wherever you're joining us, you are still pursuing. And you're keeping the faith. And as we live out faith and love and hope, you're an encouragement to us. And you're an encouragement to people who you have no idea who's even looking in on your life. He says, night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. See, this was Paul's hope. I wonder, could you do this? Could you show up with this new perspective? I'm going to look for those who are discouraged, and I want to fill that gap. I want to look for those people who seem to be down. And God, will you give me just the right words? Pray a prayer like that. God, give me just the right words to fill their gap. That's what Paul was wanting, to fill the gap in their faith. I wonder if you show up, and if I could show up, and when we show up in that space where there's other people, could we show up with, hey, God, will you use me today just to fill the gap in that person's life? May God our Father... He ends this chapter with kind of like this prayer. He says, may God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. Did you hear that? Anticipate trouble. That's what he's talked about in this chapter. And then he says, and what you need to do is to let this trouble present itself as an opportunity to love one another. For a love, and not just for other Christ followers. He says, for all people, let it grow. And not just let it grow, let it overflow. I wonder if we could be challenged this week to live like this. He says, and may he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. You see, Paul was writing in a time, in his very time, he was writing anticipating that Jesus was going to come back right then. The people in Thessalonica were anticipating. They were living in this Advent season, if you will. They were anticipating a second coming of Jesus. So that's their hope. And our hope is still just as sure. We're anticipating that Jesus is going to come. And when he comes, he's going to make everything right. And that is a hope that we can anchor our faith on. So anticipate trouble and let trouble grow your love for others, not diminishing it. Will you take out your connection card? It's inside your bulletin. Pull that out. Let's just walk through this real quick. It says, the very first one there says, pray for me to make a switch to anticipate trouble and to use that trouble to love others even more. That's a perspective change. That's a switch that needs to happen that Paul is calling us to. And if you're online, you'll find a link for that connection card. Let us know, because we want to pray for you. Or if it's easier, to just text the word pray. To our phone number, it's 401-496-9710. If you just text that word pray, and then when you get that instant reply, click on that link and let us know how we could be praying for you. Whether it has to do with that next step or whether there's something else going on in your life, we really do want to pray for you. There's another switch there. Will you do this? This is a challenge to every one of us. I will make a switch to look for a discouraged,
for the discouraged and encourage them. Will you do that this week, wherever you go? I'm going to be honest. I failed this already. I was in a store and I walked by this lady and I could hear her on the phone and she's crying. The Holy Spirit said, Rick, you need to go encourage her. And I'm like, no, she's going to think I'm weird. And I just kept on walking. I didn't do a good job at that. But this week is a new week. His mercies are new. I'm going to do better. And I invite you into this challenge. The last next step, because maybe you're watching online with us, or maybe you're even gathered right here. You would say, I don't have a hope that helps me through life's troubles. I would like to hear more about that hope. And if you would, text the word trust to that same phone number, 401-496-9710. If you'll just text that word trust, that will allow us to get your information. And we would love to be able to give you a call back, kind of walk you through what it means to have a hope and a faith that's not shaken. One that you can know for sure that Jesus is right there walking with you. Let's respond this morning with this song, Good Grace, because that it is good. This grace that we have, it's a good grace. So let's all stand and let's worship God with this song.